Salon Montage is the Twin Cities' premier salon and spa destination and proud official hair sponsor of the Minnesota Vikings cheerleaders. With three convenient locations in Edina, Woodbury, and Chanhassen, there is a salon close to you. Visit online at salon.com.
Yo, what's going on? Welcome to episode 267 of the Minnesota Vikings podcast presented by Pepsi. We have a loaded show for you guys today as we are less than double-digit days away from the NFL draft. Helping us break down what the Vikings should do in a few days is voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, who is going to be leading the show April 25th, U.S. Bank Stadium at the Miller Lite Draft Party. Make sure you guys grab your tickets and let's get right into today's edition of the Minnesota Vikings podcast. All right, we are less than double digit days away from the start of the 2024 NFL draft. And as we all know, the number one talk is the quarterback position. Welcome inside the TCO radio studio. This is the Minnesota Vikings podcast presented by Pepsi. My name is Gabe Henderson. I'm alongside Jay Nelson. And this is episode 267. I know I started this show off talking about quarterbacks. Well, we have a quarterback in the room as our special guest. He is the quarterback of the Vikings Radio Network, and his name is Paul Allen, voice of the Vikings. PA, appreciate you joining us today.
Hey, thank you guys very much for asking me. And it is podcast, what, 269?
267.
267. Yeah. You guys are going to catch and pass UFC, which is up to 300, like it's tied to a post. I mean, that's simply because, I mean, you've done so many, and there are so many things to talk about.
And Jay was at UFC 300 this past weekend.
That is correct. Yeah, it was awesome. It was a lot of fun. It's something that I try to get there annually to Vegas for every March. And this year, when I was there in March, they bumped it back a month because that would have been $299 in Las Vegas. So my buddy and I that I usually go with, he's from California. We met up and said, yep, let's do it again in April. And so we went back for UFC 300, and it did not disappoint. It was
and,
a lot of fun.
And you got my man Holloway, you know, because like I told Jay earlier on 9 to noon on KFan, he joined for a couple of seconds earlier in the week. And it's, you know, UFC, I've known what it was, never really put a lot of time into it. I used to be old school major boxing fan. So, like, waiting up late for Muhammad Ali and Leon Spinks or Joe Frazier and George Foreman. Then we get into Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yeah.
And I'm living in the Los Angeles area when Oscar De La Hoya became big.
Ooh, the golden boy.
Great right. job. And the golden days of boxing. Yeah. So I didn't really segue to UFC. My son, Derek, I mean, he loves it more than any sport, period. Yeah. So he had a UFC party recently for UFC 300, invited dad. Aw. So I'm watching it, and the metaphor here and the analogy and the comparison to the NFL draft, whatever the Minnesota Vikings do that Thursday, I hope it's of the Holloway knockout variety. Because if it is, then, I mean, we not only have an all-pro whatever, a Pro Bowl whatever. I mean, that was an HOF knockout, and we could use an HOF whatever.
That's the reason why people watch fighting. That's the reason why people watch sports, is because they want to see that knockout blow. And coming up this upcoming Thursday, or I guess April 25th, is the Miller Lite Draft Party, and everyone is looking for that knockout selection. Mm-hmm. You had a knockout interview with a quarterback, I guess the Minnesota Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell, who was a former quarterback. Mm-hmm. What were some of your thoughts on him basically addressing what that knockout selection will be at the Miller Lite Draft Party on the 25th?
Well, in having an elongated conversation with Kevin from the owners' meetings, all right, so I'm in the cornfields, and he's in Florida. So, you know, that was a 25-minute interview you can find at KFAN.com via podcasting, where Kevin, you know, I asked him about Drake May and Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy. And, you know, Kevin gave these really thoughtful two-and-a-half-minute answers and kind of explained some things. That was fantastic, and it's rare that it happens like that. So the most recent one was not that, and it was not that by design. It was just more of a couple of people who've gotten to know each other quite well now over the last 2 years to talk about the unique opportunity to go to the Masters. He went to the Masters, and he was watching it with Jim Nantz, and I can't remember who else he had next to him. But with Kevin, I can just tell the closer it gets, the more relaxed he's getting. Mm. And whether that's all this, the simulations they do, the mock draft, stuff like that, yeah. If they're starting to feel they have more of a handle on whatever's going to happen, it could be that. But it also involves the players who are here for the offseason workout, because now he's in front of players and he's seen the ones that he knew from last year, and to a certain extent, you know, because as I knew this, but I have forgotten. So he, like when they're hopping and skipping and doing conditioning, he can't be in there, which is ridiculous, but nevertheless, that's a separate conversation.
Crazy how it works.
So just to have the players back, you know, I think has really helped him settle into the normalcy part of how this circle goes. He was very composed.
I think the thing about that, too, though, it's almost like there's a confidence there, because I think the general public kind of freaks out because they don't know what the current plan is.
Yeah.
And there's a certain amount of people, probably a very small number of people in the front office, who truly know what their intentions are. And so I think when you see those kind of guys being calm, it should calm you a little bit too. But I think people are so ramped up about this draft that I think it's almost inevitable that people are going to freak out no matter what happens. Because of those conversations you've had with guys like Kevin, and we've seen, you know, other conversations or at least interviews that were done on NFL Network with like Mark Wolf and those guys, is there kind of a sense that the hay is in the barn, they know what they can control, and for the other things that they can't, there's kind of an acceptance there? Or is it something where they're still doing due diligence, they're still working, you know, working angles and stuff, and just trying to figure it out? But to me, at least they're showing a very good poker face as far as how they feel currently.
Well, that's an awesome question, because it's even last week there were reports that whomever with the Vikings went to Louisiana to meet with Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
Okay, well, you know, we're in an NFL facility, so the word betting doesn't fly around much, or certainly doesn't fly over well. However, the like betting markets, okay, well, now it's, I'll tell people not to noon a K fan, you know, when it comes to the top 10-ish picks, following the whatever.com markets and how things shift and change, that's better than following any mock draft you're going to see anywhere. Because money walks and mock drafts, or money talks and mock drafts walk. So, like, you know, there was a big move with Jaden Daniels to be the second overall pick in the draft. Well, I believe that. I buy into that.
Brian Kelly does too.
I always write. Well, he's the one to kind of move the market. So, I look at it from that standpoint. But, you know, when it comes to the metaphorical hay being in the barn, it's, I think it would be disrespectful to say it's not, because I would have to believe 90-whatever% it is. But then if you have two first-round picks, and a lot of the chatter that's been either Vikings.com, KFan, or out there is about moving up for a quarterback. Well, that next part of it, cliche as it is if that is your intention, well, I would absolutely believe that Kevin O'Connell has an absolute favorite that meshes with where he legitimately feels the team can get. So if he believes, as they put their board together, Caleb Williams with this grade, that's the best. That ain't happening. So then after that, you know, you rank them and balance them, and then Kwesi and his staff with football methodology and stuff, I would imagine that they, the next part of it, realistic chances of giving up what to get where to get him. You know, that all very much still has to be in progress, simply because it involves people and teams that you don't really know what, I mean, you would have to have a grasp on kind of what it would take. But until you're on the phone or that moment is coming up, you don't really know if somebody's going to change the rules.
To me, really quickly, it's almost like taking the ACT test back in high school. Mm-hmm. Like you can prep as much as you can, but until it's in front of you and you have to react to what's in front of you,
right,
then you're at the point where it's like, you know, you either know it or you don't. And for those kind of guys, you know, they do so much research in order to try to best guess or guesstimate what is going to happen, that there aren't a ton of curveballs. I brought it up last week in the podcast saying I always feel like the Raiders are that curveball team, that they always, you know, make some crazy selection and everything else goes haywire. But to me, it just feels like there's been so much speculation for the last couple months that people tend to feel like this team's going to take, you know, this position or that position. Mm-hmm. And it just, there's a an understanding of what they think is going to happen.
Yeah.
And then there's the reality on Thursday night once the lights turn on.
As a non-team employee, okay, so I'm not compensated to call games by the Minnesota Vikings, which, believe it or not, is a very big topic or very big point for certain things that I or others say. So, you know, I'm tired of qualifying things like that, but nevertheless, I feel like it's needed. So my opinion as a non-team employee is absolutely they want to trade up to get a quarterback. That's where, like, if it's heaven or hell and I got to be right, well, I'm going with that. The other take is, because you said something very interesting, Jay, is that people are going to be upset no matter what happens. Okay, so they move all the way up to 2, 3, 4, or 5. Well, you overpaid. They can't get up there. Well, that sucks. Who's our quarterback? You stay and you move around and you get somebody that people who don't put as much time into as people with NFL teams. Well, I don't like that guy. Okay. It's that this truly, unless the player or players are bad and it doesn't work out and you just made a bad pick or picks, this is an absolute can't-lose scenario with those picks they have. I mean, if they stay where they are or move around, I mean, you get a couple of wonderful players. Yeah. If they move up and get, say, Kevin O'Connell's favorite quarterback, well, now they just have to be right, but you did it.
And that's the main point of this, is you have to be firm on your decision. Mm-hmm. And Kevin O'Connell was very firm in his interview with PA today, and we're going to give you guys a snippet of what that sounded like right now.
With the simulations, or as the fans would say, the mocks, and a button push, and it all happens, not moving cards or anything, do you or anybody ever, like, wake up, not in cold sweat-like fashion, but like, we haven't talked about this team moving up enough, and nobody's talking about it, and we all claim we don't read here or watch anything, but we all read here and watch everything, and we don't talk about this enough, and this player at this spot is not very good, so let's think that even though he makes a lot, they might, you know what I'm saying? Like, does that ever happen?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, I've been a part of some drafts where some very, very strong takes and narratives really drive through the whole draft process, and you're just watching the tape, you're doing your evaluations, you're meeting these players, and you don't see it the same way. Mm. And ultimately, in the end, a lot of times, you know, the 32 teams tend to see it a little bit closer to each other than maybe some of the things that are out there. And yeah. I know a lot of these mock drafts and things are coming from, you know, little whispers here and there and inside information. But in the end, nobody knows what's really going to happen. There may be some pretty strong things, feelings about, you know, the first pick in the draft or, you know, what type of position there might be runs on early in the draft. But in the end, the draft's going to start. There's going to be some things that we didn't expect to happen. How we handle that and how we ultimately come out with the best possible selections comes back to the process at which took place over really long before these last 2-3 months. That's when us as coaches really get involved throughout this offseason. But Kwesi and his staff have been building up to this really since the day last year's draft ended and you know, in some cases, even before that.
In our world, whether here at Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center, I'm talking about the radio show or just football fans, is we talk about so much so frequently, and sometimes it will hone into an A topic, at least what we perceive to be an A topic. But through the conversation, you know, there are things that just don't get mentioned that I think should not be swept under the table. And this one about your team is no matter how you analyze the defense, the Brian Flores defense from A through the end. So if it's like, all right, there goes Mike Evans, and now we got this in Philly, and then we got Keenan Allen, and then it tightened. You know, so from the outside, I'd be like, all right, it went quick twitch for all of them. But, hey, it takes a little bit. That's my opinion. Then at the end of the season, you know, you got players playing more than they've ever played in their lives. Yep. So if legs got tired a little bit, that's understandable too. But in between, there was a lot of good, so much good, in my estimation, that like Harrison Phillips, Jordan Hicks, Cam Bynum, Josh Metellus, let's go on, Jonathan Bullard, let's go on and on. They had the best seasons of their careers at it for long patches. So now the next year with this tricky thing and with that leader, I'm not going to be like Evans and Blackman. I'm not going to put names on it. That's going to happen. because I don't think a lot of people saw in the building. You probably did, but a lot of people on the outside didn't see a lot of that coming. But it was fact. It's going to happen again. You know, with those who have been in this system for the second year,
yep.
and whatever players you draft, depending on how quickly they can get it, because it is complicated, I would imagine.
It is, and ultimately what I was most proud of is just the way our defense and really Flo and his staff a year ago kind of morphed and changed their style throughout the season, presenting different looks, different type of mentality to how Flo called it, and really trying to do whatever it took to try to give us a chance to win that particular game,
mm-hmm.
that particular Sunday. I think as we go into year two of Flo's defense, the hope is we continue to, you know, kind of really strengthen that identity of what we want to be as a Vikings defense, but also, you know, get in a situation where we can truly, by adding a few more pieces here and there, some of the great pieces that I thought we added in free agency, we can continue to attempt to dictate through scheme and our players on the field of allowing them to play fast,
yep.
physical, going to come back to that play style thing again, and ultimately continue to grow from year one to year two. I'm looking forward to it.
And two quickies left. I got a game here for you. Hope you like it. The NFC North, I mean, I'm not breaking news here. It's getting tougher by the second.
It definitely is.
I mean, I'm not going to go best division in football bit. The AFC North's pretty good. And, you know, you got the Chiefs over there and stuff in the AFC West. But, man, our division's becoming quite the meat grinder, isn't it?
It is. And you look at, you know, some of the things people have been able to do, acquiring talent and, you know, having some real draft capital over the years in one way or the other, whether, you know, what Detroit's done to build up their team and really build a strong core of players along their fronts and adding skill players and doing the things that they've done. And then you look at, obviously, Chicago's in a prime position to continue to make the most of, you know, some pretty serious assets and the transition from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love up in Green Bay and what he was able to really turn that offense into, especially down the stretch and through the playoffs. It's going to be very competitive. Ultimately, we have a lot of confidence that we can build a team to be competitive, and we know the games are going to be close. And when games are close, you got to play good football. You got to play smart. You got to have that situational feel of how you're going to try to either close out a victory or a lead you may have or chase it down in the end like we did in 2022. But ultimately, we're going to have to build a team that can play for four quarters, not do the things that lose games before we ever give ourselves a real shot to win them is probably the most important thing. And we're going to be transitioning, you know, with a new quarterback. We're going to be transitioning with some new players on defense. So that's where I've really challenged our coaches to, from the first moment we get in front of these guys as of yesterday, to be building, you know, the mentality of this spring is about teaching, learning, the development of younger players, the growth and the addition that we've had with free agency in the draft. But ultimately, by the time we come to training camp, our guys need to be ready to compete. They need to be ready for a physical training camp and build this football team to withstand not only our division, but once again, it just seems like it every year. You got a heck of a schedule out in front of you when you finally get a look at that thing. We got to be ready to go for 17 games and see where we fall.
I pulled a draft analysis piece
yep.
of a quarterback from a draft
yep.
from NFL.com.
Okay,
so I didn't go any outside wild ones, or I went to NFL.com. And this quarterback is not you.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you some hints, some clues, and let's see if you can figure out who this is.
Okay.
You in?
Yep.
Number one, the report loves his size, arm strength, accuracy, pocket mobility, poise, and field reading capability.
Is it in which draft is this? Are we going back for?
I said a quarterback in a draft. So we're not going back to Sammy Baugh. Slinging Sammy Baugh is not the answer. Number two, says his windup is an eyesore, but has velocity to mitigate additional release time. Makes it sound like he needs to start working out of the stretch.
I didn't get a chance to answer number one first.
No, these are all just clues. Okay. It's an answer to one person.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready for...
Number three?
I think I know where we're going with this.
Clue number three, completion percentage unaffected by blitzes. And it might be one of the ones this year. I mean, it could be the four everybody in the universe talks about, or the next two, or the next one, or the guy who throws the ball 80 yards and played at Tennessee.
Can I make a guess?
You want to make a guess right now? You're sure? Okay. Well, clue number four is grandfather is named Dick Hammer. That's his name.
Sam Darnold.
Come on, man. How'd you figure that out?
Yeah, we do a little bit
but
of work.
But why didn't you go like
here.
Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Caleb Williams, Spencer Rattler, Alex Smith, you know?
It was, I would have guessed Sam
really?
After the
Did the
third...
Dick Hammer give it away? Well,
after,
no, that's...
After the third clue. After two, I was thinking Josh Allen.
Yeah.
But then...
Well, that's his grandfather's real name, by the way. This is not from some weird web. This is NFL.com.
Yep.
His grandfather was a USC basketball player.
Unbelievable athlete, yep.
You knew that?
I did.
Oh, this sucks. Olympic volleyball star and one of the original Marlboro men.
Yep.
Well, of course you knew that.
Yep.
Jeez,
yep.
Holy cow. And then I didn't think you would get it. And then I was going to say he's currently on your team and he's in the building right now. That was clue number five. Okay, well, just off this wind-up thing. I mean, they're making him sound like a former Cy Young Award winner. What's the windup? I mean,
yeah. Coming out of USC, there was depending on how you viewed certain throws that Sam would make, there were some times where that release and that motion was maybe a little bit longer. But like with a lot of guys in this league, the game speeds up. You start to play, hopefully in a rhythm-based offense where you can tie your feet and eyes together and anticipate throws and do some things where you're playing on your time clock and not the defense's. Sam's had the ability to really. I think that's one of the things that jumped out to me. It was limited tape, no doubt, from his year in San Francisco. But I thought he really got efficient with his lower half. He really got in a place where he could – he looked to me like he was in a true growth stage, even at this point in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a lot of good things that I cannot wait when we are allowed, PA, to get out on the grass and start coaching these guys. Sam's going to be somebody that I'm just excited to work with. And I've always been a fan. And I think quarterback environment is a huge thing for all of us that have ever attempted to play the game. And
big time.
I get to be in a role where I get to try to help that for all the guys that play quarterback for us.
Completion percentage unaffected by blitzes. That's pretty cool. I appreciate you all the time.
Yeah, man. I go back to
Thank you.
Played against Ohio State, I believe in the Cotton
Darnold?
Bowl. Yeah.
And you were Washington quarterback's coach, passing game coordinator.
And,
so you're looking hard at him, right?
And whether it was, it was the full gamut of that Ohio State defense. And not a lot of them were blocked that night. And he stood in there and stared down the barrel making throws. And I just remember that's always been something I remember about it. Because you can learn a lot about guys when circumstances are not, let's just call them, less than ideal.
Right.
Well, PA, that is, the game that you played with. Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people get an opportunity to do things like that when it comes to trying to break down some of the onion or peel back some of the layers of the onion that Kevin O'Connell likes to, I guess, show people. When you were talking to him, basically trying to get him to break, but also educating the fans, what were some of your takeaways from that?
Well, the game that I played, it was basically – I thought it was fun. Kevin thought it was fun. Media relations thought it was fun. Okay, so that's how it works.
Three wins.
Win.
Bam, bam, bam. And out of respect, I mean, do I have to do this? No. Media relations, Sam Newton, John Ekstrom, Carly Bonk, Sarah Joram, Jeff Anderson, the whole cast. You know, when I talk to a lot of young broadcasters about, hey, what's it take to do A, B, and C? And, after saying just, hey, if God made you unique, well, be yourself while being unique and outwork everybody. But then after that is if and or when you get in somewhere, you got to make sure that friendships are forged with media relations and they're authentic, because there's some back scratching to it, but not like fixing races. So, fixing races in that, how come Gabe gets, these nine players and Jay only gets these two? Not like that. That's very important. So therefore, I will get here super early on a day I have Kwesi Adofo-Mensah or Kevin O'Connell, and I'll get with Sam, I'll get with John, and I'll be like, hey, here's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And so I had this idea to play this game, but Sam Newton suggested to me at 7:15 this morning, why don't you build it up like a quarterback from a draft? And here's what NFL.com said. So then clue number one, and we went through it all. And he nailed Darnold after analysis piece number three. So the reason I did that and talked about some other things is because Kevin was so gracious and so kind whenever the owners' meetings were, to do a 25-minute interview with me, and I'm back at KFan, and I asked him about all Drake May, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy. He gave 2.5-minute answers. You know, that was awesome.
You don't get that from a head coach every day.
I'll just be square with you. I mean, from Mike Tice when I started in 02, and I love Mike and like all these guys for different reasons, Tice, Childress, Frazier, Zimmer, I'm never asking those questions. Maybe with Leslie. But I had no problem asking them with Kevin. Didn't run it through media relations. They were in Florida, and he ran with it. So that's just kind of the back-scratching give and take. Is like, okay, you're going to sit down with me for 20, 22 minutes, like he did the day we did the interview. But it's not going to be, you know, now the fans, of course, listening, you know, those are the ones we're serving.
Yeah.
And the minute I forget, people take time to turn on 9 to noon or listen to me call games. The Vikings, obviously, in the subject matter are the A topic. But people actually go out of their way to listen.
Yeah.
Well, I have a high level of reverence for that, that I serve you, you don't serve me.
Amen.
Same thing with Kevin is that, hey, I'm not going to go over the questions here or anything. The last one, the way it went, was A+. I mean, milk the hell out of the quarterback analysis for about the next week and a half, 9 to noon. Thank you for that. So let's just sit back and chill and chat a little bit and talk about mock drafts and simulations and things like that and play this baby game and call it a day.
Yeah, it was probably great that you did that interview because it was a really phenomenal interview, which was on Vikings.com right now, as well as your interview with KOC right now. But it was probably best case scenario that you did not check your phone when you were interviewing Kevin at the owners' meetings.
So what happened?
You said you got a text message.
Oh, no, yeah, and that's another side of it. Jeff with media relations was like 15 max. I didn't see it. I go 25. I'm done texting people. I just, Kevin, everybody was cool. But see, that's an underlying strength in this building.
Oh, man.
I mean, you and I are extremely close friends. So, you know, at the end of the 2021 season, after I'd called like 20 seasons of Vikings football, I called a couple of wild games. Yep. You know, I'm kind of like, it's like there were some changes and everything. Yeah. Well, then O'Connell rolled in and we had that 2022 season. And I mean, it's like, I'm a step back a little bit and I don't, you know, need to be here and kicking my feet up here. And I don't need to be, you know, all that anymore.
Yep.
By the middle of that season, I was here 4 or 5 days a week. I couldn't get enough of it. Kevin had a lot to do with that. I mean, I just adore him. I know he's a high-level head coach. He's a high-end head coach, specifically with offense, scheming, and his staff, and learning more about the staff still. Like 2 years ago, Brian Angelico, the tight ends coach, I'm doing X's and O's in the TV studio for KFan and Vikings.com. And, you know, he's talking about the red zone offense and the importance the tight ends coach Brian Angelico has in it because he's like a red zone savant. So then I'm watching the red zone the rest of the year and I'm like, damn, that was really, really nice. So the vulnerability to not have it be, I've waited 30 years for this, damn it, and I'm going to do it my way, whether I'm in or out. I just, specifically in this day and age, I just love Kevin's vulnerability, and he is a wonderful head coach.
But I think that's the thing that also makes him a great head coach is the flexibility that he has. Mm-hmm. And he's not necessarily holding on to every single position going, I'm running everything. It's like he's letting and empowering other people to be able to do what they need to do to be able to be successful.
Right.
One of the things that I think there's been a lot of discussion here this offseason about the amount of roster change that's happened, especially defensively. If you look at some of the changes that we've had, I mean, there's some high profile players that left and that we've also brought in some guys that we assume at this point are going to be, you know, big money hitters for us at this point. How do you assess the way that this offseason has gone? And what do you think at this point going into the draft besides quarterback is the biggest need on this roster?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up defense. Just to land the plane on Gabe's question about like what would listeners learn?
Yeah.
I mean, that owner's meeting interview that we had, well, you learned what Kevin O'Connell over 2.5 minutes, as much as he's willing to share, thinks about the quarterbacks that everybody talks about. Secondly, with this one, and to Jay's question about the Brian Flores defense, is I like to start baseline and unpack from there. So I said to Kevin, it's like, okay, this defense is tricky. It's hard, right? Yes. All right, well, Mike Evans, the Philly game, Keenan Allen, all right, well, that's not great. But then after that, once seemingly an outsider like me, it clicked. Yep. I mean, if you think Harrison Smith and Jordan Hicks knew everything inside and out, I can't believe everybody did. But by the fourth game, everybody did, and we could see how good that defense got.
Yep.
So now take it another step off what Jay's question is, okay, so the defense needed to become unified by learning the tricks through three games, and there were problems. Then it was fantastic a majority of the time. Then you have players playing more than they've ever played, and if you believe legs got tired near the end of the season, that probably is going to be expected. But it's fact that from Harrison Phillips to Josh Metellus, Ivan Pace Jr., but he's new, Cam Bynum, Jordan Hicks, there are more than a handful of players who are coming off the best seasons of their careers. Yep. And that's with one of the harder defenses this side of Spagnuolo in the entire NFL to learn. Well, what are they going to be like in their second season? What are Caleb Evans, Mekhi Blackmon, Byron Murphy Jr., who, you know, I thought was okay most of the time. Like, what are the secondary, and Byron Murphy Jr. is not a secondary type player, but just the players I didn't mention. Well, now that they've seen it for a year, you know, we had problems at Cincinnati, you know, with T. Higgins, and there were like Blackmon and a Caleb Evans. They just spinning around and stuff. That's going to happen. Yeah. The other team gets to make plays too, and so do superstars like T. Higgins. Okay, well, what are the youngsters? How much are they going to improve year two now that they know what Flores expects and when?
Yep.
I mean, that really excites me.
And just understanding that there are going to be newer guys on this Minnesota Vikings defense, that can only make a Vikings fan more excited just thinking about what this defense can look like. We know what the offense can look like with, you know, Kevin O'Connell leading the bunch, but what does that look like with Sam Darnold or Jaren Hall or Nick Mullins? So it's to your point, I know we talked about it on your show earlier this week, is Kwesi Odofo-Mensah is confident. Nordo mentioned it. He said Kwesi has this weird confidence. What do you think? And I think the reason for Kwesi Odofo-Mensah's confidence is due to his offensive leader and his defensive leader having head coaching experience and getting the best out of their guys.
Right.
Now they just have to bring in the right talent to fit this game in order to make these guys better. And I think this upcoming year's draft, we'll start to see what that looks like.
Well, I mean, a reference I used recently, 9 to Noon K-Fan, was an old Ricky Rubio quote. I can't remember what it was from. Maybe he had too many turnovers, they lost or whatever, and he wears his emotions on his face. Ricky, just with this adorable high-pitched voice, said, I need to change my face.
Yeah.
Well, I think Vikings fans, including me, do too. And here's why when it comes to Kwesi Odofo-Mensah is, okay, the 2022 draft doesn't look like it's going to be the greatest draft in the history of the NFL. So that's the starting point, and the title here is general manager. But the general manager for the Minnesota Vikings, his job duties and requirements, our faces need to change. It's not, I don't believe it's exactly what you would think a general manager would do over the last 50 years of the NFL. Like getting the roster younger and making sure you're not looking for nickels and dimes in free agency every offseason. So, like, say they re-sign JJ before the season. Like, I'm under the belief that they could do that and still be like 75 to 90 million under the cap.
Yeah.
All right. So, say you think whatever player from 2022 isn't working out and won't work out. Okay, that's part of the equation because to whom much is given, much is expected. And that's that man's title. Well, how do you balance that with getting the team in a free agency position in a very short amount of time to get Darnold on a 1-10, Aaron Jones to flip on all teams but leave his former team in 5 seconds, you know, on a one-year deal? That's massive. Grenard, Van Ginkle, Cashman, and so on and so on, you know. But to do that, you have to have requisite cash. And Kwesi and the staff have put the team in a position to do that. I just think it's terrific.
And you're set up for next year where it seems like you're going to have even more cash to be able to work with that. So, yeah, some of these guys are going to be on one-year contracts this year, but they're prove-it deals. There's going to be some more cash available next year. There's going to be a whole nother crop of people that are going to be free agents. And I think the thing that we've seen the most over here over the last, 3 years now is the amount of roster turnover that's happened. You still have your Harrison Smiths and your CJ Hams and some of the OG veterans that are currently on this team. But I think the thing that is, I guess, most encouraging is they're willing to constantly evaluate, constantly find ways to plug into that equation to try to get the most they can out of this team. I think a couple years ago, you probably got way more than you thought you were going to in those one score games.
Yeah.
Last year, it flipped and went the other direction. I kind of feel like going into this year, now that we've got, you know, kind of players that they seem to feel like they know what the formula is that they want to run.
Yeah.
And they've gone out and found those guys, and now you're going to supplement that with the draft. And then, you know, people think, well, free agency's done, draft is done, we're not going to do anything else with the roster. That's not how that works.
Right.
They're constantly evaluating over the summer, they're constantly evaluating through preseason, and they're constantly evaluating during the season, and they're going to do what they can to get the maximum out of this team and try to win, not only to get to the playoffs, make a run in the playoffs to make it worth it.
Well, no matter which or if any quarterback they end up with out of this draft, no matter if it's a massive trade up like everybody talks about, a majority of people want, or it's wherever. It's my belief, and I think it would be, you know, specifically given it's not going to be Caleb Williams. He will go first to the Bears. Sam Darnold is going to play, okay? And if you find your way to Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Penix, Nix, Rattler, Gabe's guy with the big arm from Tennessee who throws the ball 80 yards, it doesn't matter who it is, forget the name, is Sam Darnold probably is the right guy to play early in the season. Now, you're going to have people listening now, you know, who, you know, are going to think what I'm about to say, oh, there's Barney the Purple Dinosaur waving the pom-poms, and he's the Vikings cheerleader homer, which a fair amount of that is true, but just not with this the statement, is I'm the one into last season, okay, who said, I think Sam Darnold gives the San Francisco 49ers every bit as good a chance, if not better, to win a Super Bowl than Brock Purdy. Okay, now Purdy played the whole year, did a wonderful job. They came up short. But there was Sam, man. You don't go third overall in the draft because you don't have anything to you. Sure. All right, so, you know, whether it was a bad pick or a situation system-wise, being third overall in the New York market and being kind of a reserve, quiet guy, and the talent around him or lack thereof in two of his spots. You know, it's you put all that together and you recognize that this man has terrific arm strength, super smart, he completes passes when blitzed. That's like there are two major underrated things with Sam that I remember from when the Vikings played at the Jets and the Vikings played at Carolina. Is and I'm told all this stuff. I'm not trying to be Mike Mayock all 22 savant here, but I was told he handles blitzes and completes passes or throws incompletes when it's the right time to do it about as well as anybody you're going to see. Why that, like, that's gone? No, that's not gone. He just didn't have a chance to play because of the Niners situation. But you also think of from whom he's learning in that Niners situation. I mean, Kyle Shanahan's one of the most well-respected offensive minds over the last 20 years of the NFL. And Kevin O'Connell, you know what I think of him. So a lot of the attributes Darnold had, including his sneaky athleticism, where he runs when you don't think he's going to run, he's fast. He's really good inside the 10 and the 5 running, from what I understand. They're not gone. All of those are still there. Maybe they just need to be manicured and put in the right spot so this man can flourish. So the Barney the Purple Dinosaur statement is, I'm excited to watch Sam Darnold and see what, because this is on Sam. A lot of this is on Sam.
Yeah.
It's like when Jaren Hall comes into a game, yeah, Jaren, it's on you, but it's on the staff too. I mean, it's a big opportunity for Sam Darnold. And he's gifted, so I can't wait to watch him.
Well, and he's going to be set up perfect because he has a quarterback as a head coach that can help speak the language of what he's trying to do. So yeah, all those inherent traits that are there, I think that's going to be something they're just going to be trying to get the most out of him. And I think he's going to be set up perfectly for what they need to do, at least to start the season.
Yes, sir.
PA, last question for you. You probably got a minute or so here.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to hear from you at the draft party, Miller Lite draft party, April 25th at US Bank Stadium. But between then, we're not going to hear much from you. So on this podcast, I want to ask you, what would success look like for this Vikings team via draft night?
Thursday. For the Minnesota Vikings to leave the draft with exactly the quarterback Kevin O'Connell wants. That's it. He loved him into the Lions game to end the season from what he knew, loved him after, then the combine, the pro days, and the sneaky meetings and everything, and then there he is, and you take him. So whichever quarterback Kevin O'Connell and the offensive staff love most, my preferred scenario and best case scenario is for the Vikings to leave with that guy.
Love it. Well, we left with you today, and this was the Minnesota Vikings podcast presented by Pepsi with Jay Nelson, Paul Allen, and myself, Gabe Henderson. Talk to you guys next week. 87% of our food comes from rural America. Farmers are incredible, agriculture is incredible, and rural is incredible. Lando Lakes is a farmer-owned cooperative and proud official sponsor of the Minnesota Vikings.
Say hello to flawlessly smooth skin at Pure Lux Med Spa, the preferred med spa of the Minnesota Vikings cheerleaders. Specializing in elite laser hair removal, body contouring, Botox, cosmetic filter, and age-defying skincare treatments such as Diamond Glow and Skin Pen for collagen induction therapy. For more information, visit MyPureLux.com/Vikings for exclusive offers to Vikings fans. That's www.mypurelux.com/Vikings.